September 11th, 2001.
I definitely remember it as an event that brought our country closer together.
I value life more.
We should all stick together as a country.
I think of patriotism a lot.
I'm proud to be an American.
I'm joined in studio now by Vince Harrison and Mark Chavis. They are both part of the safety team at Calvary Church in Albuquerque. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on ABQ Connect.
Good afternoon.
Glad to be here.
Vince is a retired detective with the Albuquerque Police Department, and Mark is a retired Albuquerque Fire Department firefighter. You gentlemen went out together to Ground Zero, and I can't even imagine what you are thinking about, what you're feeling about. Probably sleeping last night wasn't real comfortable. But Vince, I want to start with you, and tell me how vivid your memories are of your arrival at Ground Zero.
Well, I can tell you that let's start off with the day it happened. Mark and I were talking about this outside, but thank you, Jim, for having us on. This is such an important topic, and to see our country where it's at now versus where it was 19 years ago. I mean, today's the anniversary of 9/11, 19 years, but it's also the 8th anniversary of the Benghazi attacks, which was also an attack on our country. Vividly, when it happened, specifically, I remember being at the police academy. We were in training, and guys were gathering around the television, trying to figure out what was going on. And we saw one of the towers had been hit, and we thought, well, it's just a fire. Why is it all over the national news? And 30 minutes later, everybody's around the TV seeing that plane flying in. They kept rewinding it and showing it. And at that point, we knew our country's under attack. What do you do? Here we are in America, and what's happened? That's happened in America. It didn't happen this time. It didn't happen overseas. It happened in our country. So, vividly going back to the day we got to Ground Zero was chaos. And Mark and I were talking about that. You get to New York, you land in New York, and there's not a lot of flights. They had banned flights. And, same thing with the subways. There was no one on the subways, but the New Yorkers were moving about their business. We got in, we're like, here, this is New York. Let's go to Times Square. We got in about 1 a.m. I remember people walking all over. The eeriness of getting into Ground Zero. It was about a half mile radius around Ground Zero that they had blocked off and barricaded off. And you could just smell it. You could smell the sulfur smell, metal smell. It's something I can't explain, but it was just so real. I mean, think about it now. This morning I got up at 5:30, started watching the news, flipping the channels, couldn't find nothing. Saw some memorial with on CNN I changed it pretty quick because it was a political stint. Fox News had a little bit about it. Then I found on the History Channel they had a pretty good coverage of it. And then just to never forget. It's something we never want to forget. And it's it took us as our country to our knees. And I think that's what reminds me. I have a book right here. Mark and I both have our own little albums that we have, and it reminds me of where our country's at and what we stand for, and that's freedom. So,
Vince, I want to play off something you just said. Right now we have probably more social unrest than I remember in my lifetime in this country, and I'm over 60 years old.
Yeah.
But I remember our country coming together 19 years ago. I remember firefighters, Mark, and police officers being praised, and our first responders being, absolutely praised at every corner. And today, we're not in that situation.
Sure.
And I know you have been concerned, as we've talked about this in the last couple of days in preparation for the show, that people have forgotten. People have forgotten about the sacrifices that our first responders made, not just in New York, but in other areas. They're sacrifices that are made every day. You have a few incidents that are tragic, but if you look at things in terms of, the overall police officers, firefighters are not only acting in heroic ways, but they are putting their lives on the line for everybody, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of anything. They are giving their lives for us.
Yes.
We're spending this whole month backing the blue. You know, we're,
that's awesome.
We're really thankful for our people in law enforcement. We're really thankful for our firefighters. I will tell you this. I've seen about, 5 years ago, living in Corrales, I had a fire break out just down the road from my house. And the fire department down in Corrales, which is all, those guys were on the scene in 10 minutes. That fire was out in 15 minutes. I mean, it was just crazy. And these are volunteers. So, you know, I can only imagine that the professional training and everything that you go through. Mark, I want to ask you now about your arrival upon the scene in New York. Was it shocking to you?
Going back to what Vince said, the morning of 9/11/2001, I was at the fire station. It was early morning. We were just getting ready to start a routine day, we thought, and drinking coffee. TV was on in the background. And one of the guys says, hey, check this out. There's a big fire in New York City. And we looked and we saw one of the towers just burning. And our immediate thought was like, how in the heck are they going to fight that fire? You know, cause it was up about the 70 or 80th floor. And, you can't use the elevators.
Right.
So we always thought, man, those guys are going to have a tough time getting up there, you know, with hose and everything and evacuation. We were thinking, man, there's got to be, you know, tens of thousands of people in those buildings, you know. So we were just watching and thinking of the logistics of it, you know, and then, just a few minutes later, we saw the other plane hit the other tower and it was just like a jolt, a shock. And you realize that, hey, this was no accident. Mm-hmm. Because they were saying, they were thinking that it might have been a small plane somewhere, you know, something like that. But when we saw that airliner hit the second tower, we all looked at each other. That is not an accident. That's deliberate.
Right.
So it brought a lot of shock. And the whole day we spent just trying to catch up on the news. The fire chief came out and said, hey, everyone is going to have to stay in the stations. No going out unless it's an emergency call. And things changed pretty quick. My journey to Ground Zero started at Calvary here. Skip had gone with the Billy Graham Association and came back and was talking about the work that they were doing there with Pastor Fanizio at Harvest Christian Church in Manhattan. And the following week, he said, hey, we want to send a team from Calvary out there. And if you're interested, you know, sign up an interest card or whatever. And I thought, well, God, you know, if this is your will for me to go, it'll happen. If not, I'll support the team in prayer or whatever. But they called me and said, hey, we want you to go. So there was about 8 or 9 of us, maybe 10 of us, yep. 10 of us all together, and we all went as a team. I was the only firefighter. There were a couple of police officers, including Vince and some other people that were from New York, a young couple. Anyway, we got there, and like Vince said, it was overwhelming. You know, the hotel was near Times Square, and it was just all the lights, everything was very distracting. Until the next day, I went with some firefighters down to Ground Zero, and all of a sudden I realized, you know, I've been thinking before that this is awful, that those poor guys in New York. But when I actually was down to Ground Zero, they called it the pile at that time, I realized this was an attack on all of us, on America.
Mm-hmm. Vince, off air, we were talking a little bit about this, and you mentioned that there were first responders from all over the world.
Yes.
In New York. Tell us a little bit about those first responders and what you saw and the willingness to help America.
Well, I think initially we go down there, right? Our calling is to help others, to serve others. I mean, you don't wake up every morning and put on your vest or put on your go to the fire station or the police station and to do anything else but help people. That's your initiative. That's your purpose. You're driven. When you get there, you want to help. There were so many people willing to help at Ground Zero. There were firefighters and police officers from other countries, from Canada, from Russia, Japan, China. And you see all these different uniforms and dialects. We're like, it was so real. There was so much help. There was at the point where if they would find a patch or a boot or a uniform or a body in the pit. I mean, the smoke was still smothering. You still smell it. The steam was coming out of the ground. They would stop what they're doing. I forgot what they would say, Mark, but they would say something like they would holler out some cadence, and they would stop, and everybody would line up and stand at attention as they pulled the body or the patch or the boot or the helmet or clothing or a briefcase or something from somebody, because there was a team that would collect the evidence. The FBI was there. It was a big operation, but there was so much help. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Mark, were you encouraged by seeing all those people there?
Sure, yes. What a difference 19 years makes. It was encouraging to see all the firefighters and folks from all over the world supporting America and recognizing that this was wrong. It was encouraging, and I was just overwhelming to just see all the help there. Vince and I were talking about going to some of the funerals, thousands and thousands of people. I mean, the churches were packed, and there'd be thousands of firefighters outside surrounding down the streets, you know, at each funeral. It was really made you feel good.
Well, and you two decided to actually go do some ministry with a lot of those people and be at the funerals and talk to people about your faith. So yes. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that and get some more details and stories that you remember. Again, this is a special memorial edition, a 9/11 edition of ABQ Connect. We're in studio with retired Albuquerque Police Department Detective Vince Harrison and retired Albuquerque Fire Department firefighter Mark Javis. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
September 11th, 2001.
That was a terrible incident that happened.
It's still scary.
We were glued to the television sets.
I remember waking up to it being on the television and thinking it was a movie.
Vince, you've worked with police officers from different countries, ethnicities, and backgrounds. What do they all have in common?
That's a great question. I think the most common thing I find with all the officers that is a heart of service and wanting to help others. I know that's you hear that a lot when you're trying to recruit a new officer. What do you want to do? I want to help people. But literally you have an attitude of servanthood, I guess the best way to put it, and a patriotic attitude. You love your country. You love your community. And, that's the most common thing that I've seen from all ethnicities and all countries and all different, branches of service, military to the police to fire. You have an attitude of servanthood.
I'm going to make an observation. I've been a civilian. I've not served in the military. I haven't been in law enforcement, but I read about heroic things that law enforcement, firefighters, you know, do every day. And you guys run to the fire. You run when there's bullets. You run when the heat is the hottest, Mark. You run to it. I don't know. I want to think that I would run to the fire to help, but I don't really know until it happens. And so I have this, I feel like it's a gift that you have. You guys have already been tested by fire, literally, and you've run to the fire. So thank you for that service.
Thank you.
Mark, what's changed in firefighting since 9/11?
Well, just to add to what you were just saying, you know, Vince mentioned earlier that first responders, most, you know, it's a calling. You know, you just have this inner desire to help people. You know, it's not something that you can manufacture. it's a calling, and you pursue it in your field, and that's how you end up doing that. What's changed in firefighting is, I think, the culture of firefighters that are going in now. This is 19 years later. It's a different breed. There's a lot of kids going in that really maybe don't have the calling. And I don't want to disparage any fire department or organization anywhere, but there's a different mindset, a different culture. You know, it's more like, hey, I want to be perceived as the hero or whatever, you know, and it's not a good thing compared to this calling that you just know that this is what God wants you to do. And another thing that you said earlier is that you don't know if you do it. You'd be surprised. Most ordinary people can do such heroic things, just being given the Holy Spirit to assist them and do some amazing things. Very surprising. You know, when God calls you to do something, if you think about those whom he called, they were not heroic people most of the time, you know. They were just ordinary people that God used.
Vince, how did you have an opportunity? You went to help. You went to assist. There were a lot of people doing things at Ground Zero, so you all really both started doing some ministry things. Where did that take you? Where did God lead you when you were out there?
Well, when we got there to New York, Harvest Church through Samaritan's Purse was doing some field training. They basically said, here, guys, this is what we want you to do. If you can attend funerals, go to Ground Zero. If you can help where you can. One of the things for me that stuck in my mind and is most vivid is at Ground Zero, they had a cross. It was pretty cool. And God's hand was in it the entire time. It could have been 10 times worse, right? 9/11 could have been a lot worse. Mm-hmm. But there was this cross erected. I don't know if it's on the, matter of fact, it's on the magazine from 2001. There's a magazine of metal from part of the towers. It just happened to appear right there. Nah, I don't think so. Yeah. Right? God had his hand in it. But that was a place, a solemn place that if you wanted prayer, you kind of went to that location. And if you wanted to pray you would see these workers and running the heavy machinery and the front end loaders or to police officers and whoever may have been there. Wanted just a time of solemn time of quiet and remembrance, they would go there. So the team would go to that location and pray for people. And you saw there was opportunity to pray with people. It was awesome to be able to go to any police, firefighter, worker, New Yorker. Hey, how you doing today? Oh, I just can't believe it. And, it doesn't make sense. And, well, you know what? God has a plan. And we were praying and witnessing to people in front of the late night show in front of Times Square. And it was just really a great opportunity because I think, God got America's attention at that point in time.
Yeah.
And it drove our country, like I said, to its knees. And okay, what do we do next? And is there an enemy out there? And is it going to happen again? And is this a terrorist attack? And I mean, as we've seen, it's happened again and again. Benghazi's one of them, but there's been many other thwarted attacks in our country, even this year, that have been thwarted, but you don't see that on the news. It's a real, the threat is real. It hasn't ended. But the opportunity was just unbelievable at every corner, in the subway, in Central Park. The funerals were just solemn. Staten Island, I remember this one funeral we went to, and they had probably 50 bagpipers there. They were doing a funeral for two police officers that were a father and son at the same time. And there were thousands of people lined up on the side of the road. And just seeing that the community come together was just incredible.
This is a little off script, but Mark, I'll ask you, I'm visualizing the sadness that this family had to be feeling with a father and the son both killed in law enforcement. How do you think those families felt immediately after when their loved ones were praised and complimented and thanked? How do you think they feel about the police being so scrutinized now?
Well, angry and disappointed that our political system and that the culture has turned against what's right and good and necessary for communities to thrive. I mean, New York City's a lot different now than it was back then. Mayor Giuliani had cleaned that place up when we went down there. It was safe. It's not quite that way now. And I'm sure there's a lot of disappointment from folks.
Yeah. Well, I hear about cities around the country. Like, I had the fortune of traveling to San Francisco probably 35 or 40 years ago. But then I went out there a couple years ago, and that's a totally different place now.
Right. Right.
When I went out there, it was probably the cleanest city I'd ever been in, beautiful. And that's not the case now. I had the fortune of going when I was a Lobo basketball player to New York, and we were, you know, just a bunch of young kids that hadn't traveled that far out into Mexico, and we get there, and we're walking from the hotel down 6th Avenue to Madison Square Garden just, you know, goggling all of the giant buildings and everything, and it was just an amazing time. I'm not sure we'd want to walk down the street.
Safe,
now. I don't know. Yeah. Vince, I said this yesterday. I had Chief Mike Geyer, the Albuquerque Police Department, he's just announced his retirement.
Yes.
And I think that he's put in place some initiatives for the Albuquerque Police Department that are really trying to get the police department and the community communicating and working together. And I ask him a series of questions. And again, you know this, both of you know this, you know, churches are always trying to get people not to have sin in their lives. But the truth is, we have sin in our lives. So in some ways, again, you know, George Floyd dying the way that he did was absolutely tragic. But Skip has interviewed a couple of pastors, Skip Heitzik, the pastor at Calvary Church, a couple of black pastors who have said, you know, the real problem that we have is a sin problem, not a skin problem.
Yeah.
And even though there is bigotry, and we know that's a sin, we know that that exists, there's going to be some of that. But in the majority of police officers and the majority of firefighters, you do what you do to save all of us and to protect all of us. And that's the part that I think is missing. And at least in my view, is one of the things that we learned at 9/11 and we've kind of forgotten it.
Well, I think, Jim, and thank you for bringing that up. Mike Geyer is a great man. He's a personal friend of mine. He was my sergeant in, back in the day in the 90s, and we worked together. And he brought the department where it needed to be from the Department of Justice with his consent decree. But I think the end result is this. When a police officer puts on his uniform, he doesn't go to work caring of who's going to call 911. When the dispatcher answers the phone, 911, can I help you? The question isn't what's your ethnicity and what's your race? The first question is, what's your emergency and what's your location? The police officers do not know where they're going and what time and what's going to happen. Same thing with a firefighter. Somebody's having a heart attack or a car accident or buildings on fire. They don't ask questions. They just go. And I think that's the difference that the public needs to understand. And we know that 85% of the public support law enforcement. That's the truth. I can tell you one of the best sounds that my wife had always said she liked to hear at the end of the night. She'd wake up at 2 a.m. or if I got home at 7 a.m, working graveyard shift, whatever it was the sound of my Velcro coming off my vest. She knew I was home and I was okay. And you never take on the job wanting more than to give yourself. You don't ask. It's an unselfish thing to give, very unselfish thing. And that's you give yourself and you go when you're called.
Yeah. Mark, when you had a chance to share your faith in New York, did you really have a sense that the Holy Spirit was moving through you and leading you?
Yes, sir, absolutely. You know, and also just a willingness of people to hear. I did not go to Ground Zero every day with Vince and the rest of the team. They hooked me up with a couple of firefighters from Los Angeles. And our mission was to go to every fire station we could down in Manhattan and just talk to the guys. And there was a mixed, you know, reception from the firefighters at those stations. Some would say, I remember one station I went to, one guy said, oh no, he goes, we've just been getting hammered with people 24/7, you know, just want to get some rest now, you know. At that same station, another guy said, hey, can you talk to me? I really need somebody to talk to. So, you know, and stuff, you know, of people accepting. And then there was always people hanging around the front of the fire stations, tourists and other firefighters from other countries and cities. So there was great opportunity and very openness to hear the message of hope of Christ, of the Lord.
I'm going to butcher this quote, but a pastor we all know well who is regular on KNKT, a morning teacher, is Greg Laurie. And Greg Laurie has a quote that's something like, God did not call the world to come to church. He called the church to go into all of the world.
Amen.
And that's really what you did, Vince.
Yeah, Mark, I'm going to go back with what Mark was saying with the, with the firefighters, seeing people from different countries. One of the things I do remember specifically is you're from where? Albuquerque, where's that? You know, yeah. New Mexico. Oh, the balloons. Oh, okay. You know, you came all the way over
country.
Here. Yeah. It's like, so they were excited to see you came up. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming down. And they were surprised. And the police department supported us going. They allowed us to take city leave and we got, you know, so we didn't have to take vacation. So it was with the fire department and the police department. They both supported that. So, you know, just being available sometimes, you know, that's why God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth to listen more than you speak. And I think that was what was more important sometimes, just when we were out there. They had what was called the PAPA organization, peer officer support. I don't remember the acronym it was for, but there's a lot of suicide, a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression in law enforcement and in the fire. And the reality is what could we do? We could listen and listen to the person's heart and pray for them. And that was what we had a lot of opportunity to do. And it was with all New Yorkers.
Hmm. Do you see people kind of reacting today because of the isolation from COVID similarly to how they were reacting after 9/11?
Instead of a more openness to hear God's word, there's more of a spirit of depression. Mm-hmm. And just anxiety over the future and that things have changed dramatically. It's not quite the same, but there's still this feeling that something's changed radically in this world. But it's not that same feeling as 9/11 of hope that, hey, God's going to come in and work this out. It's more of a depression. It's and just the spirit of oppression over the people.
Vince Harrison is a retired Albuquerque police detective, and Mark Chavis is a retired Albuquerque Fire Department firefighter. They are both serving. Vince runs the Calvary Church Safety and Security. He is the director of that program. Mark is part of that safety and security team. And Mark also is I'm going to call you the chainsaw sculptor, my friend. He has a website called sandiabearcompany.com, and that's got to be good therapy in addition to just something fun to do, isn't it?
I call it that, my therapy. It's really fun.
But do you actually do carvings for people?
Oh, yes, yes. I've done thousands of
carvings. They commission you, and you put together a carving.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. The carvings, Mark doesn't talk about it. You don't like to brag, but on Montaño and Coors, the Rio Grande River, the sculptured garden there, mm-hmm. Mark did all that after the Bosque fires.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun. It
was good. Yeah, well, that's tremendous talent. We're going to be back more with Vince and Mark. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
September 11th, 2001.
Definitely made a larger world awareness of what was going on.
We should not only stick together during tough times, but all the time.
Every year we think about it.
Welcome back to this special edition of ABQ Connect, the 9/11 edition. We're remembering 9/11, 2001. What a tragic event that was. And in studio today, we have Vince Harrison. He is the director of safety at Calvary Church. And we have retired firefighter, artiste extraordinaire, Mark Chavis with us. And guys, I really appreciate you being here. I know this is probably an emotional day. I want to ask you now about relationships. You met a lot of people when you went to Ground Zero, when you were working around New York. Mark's going around visiting firehouses and trying to counsel with people. Vince, you were going to funerals and just talking to people and trying to be an example of Jesus to them. Do you still have some of those relationships here 19 years later?
Well, it's just so powerful to think about it, where we were 19 years ago. One of the things that I do is I wear this every day. I've worn it for 19 years. Is my, I think they called it a prayer bracelet. Lenya had designed these, and this, the one I wear, is John DeLara from NYPD. He was on their SWAT team, which says a special response team. But he died. He died. He was going in. He'd taken somebody out of the Tower One and helped the lady out, and was going back in when the second one hit, and he passed. But that reminds me daily. I've lost this bracelet probably 4 times, and I keep finding it. Mercy band, there you go. So it's a great reminder to me. As far as keeping relationships, there's the group that went with us out there. There's 3 of the 10 that Mark's one of the 10 that we keep tabs with. I always see Mark's my brother till we die. Mm-hmm. But there's I actually try to reach John. We call him John Hollywood Corvano was his name. I had been keeping in touch with him, and as of the last few years, I haven't been able to get a hold of him. He was from New Jersey PD. He was there helping at Ground Zero. But you met so many people. Another officer, a detective I met, homicide detective from Philadelphia, that I met out there. We became good friends, Maggie. And I had You know, those people I haven't had much contact with, but I think you just the friendships you make during that time is what's important.
Mark, how about you?
Yeah, I did meet a couple of firefighters there, and like you're saying, I do chainsaw art, and I do these fireman bears. And they saw some pictures of them, and they wanted one for themselves. And so I ended up making a few fireman bears and sending them to New York to some of the firefighters there. But there was two firefighters in particular that I stayed in contact with, Christmas cards, you know, for 5 or 6 years, and one now that I still stay in contact with now and then. About 12 years ago, my wife and I, for our 25th wedding anniversary, went back to New York. And I told him that we were going, and he says, "Oh, you gotta get in touch with me." And I mean, he just gave us the royal treatment, took us out to a really fine restaurant and said, "Hey, you coming out to the fire station tonight?" You know? And so he happened to be on a fireboat and on Staten Island station. Mm. And so he says, "Okay, get on the boat," you know? And I mean, they took us around for several hours, all over the harbor, up the Hudson River, around the Statue of Liberty, and you know, and we just got the royal treatment there, and him and I have become pretty good friends, although we haven't seen each other since that day, but we still communicate Christmas cards and stuff now and then.
Yeah.
So but I think the people that went in the group too, the team, I got really close with them. I didn't know Vince that well, you know, other than that, hey, he was a police officer, kind of in the same field. But him I've gotten to know over the years since then, and have become close friends with him as well. So,
well, and, you know, I'm a guy. I'm here on the campus of Calvary Albuquerque at Connection Studios. We have both Star and KNKT here. You know, a lot of people don't know that there's probably 160-plus people working on this campus, and both of you guys are taking care of us.
Yeah.
And there are things that go on. There's threats issued. There's burglaries. There's all kinds of things that people.
It's a big campus.
Yeah, it's a big campus with 22 plus acres. So your law enforcement and your protection has not ended. And so not only am I thankful that you both served our city well, but you're serving us now. And again, I'm just amazed. You mentioned a fire or a police officer that went into one tower, the first tower, and pulled people out. And then he went back in, Vince, and he lost his life. So he didn't just run to the fire once. He ran in twice. And that just has to take extraordinary courage. It just has total disregard for self. I don't want to minimize or somehow be condescending toward the events of the past 3 or 4 months. I think there's things that have been done wrong in law enforcement, and we all know that. But I know that our focus needs to be on the majority of the amazing things that are happening, because the events happening in law enforcement, the events happening with first responders, with firefighters, the things they do every day, why doesn't the news report about them?
Sure.
I mean, it would just be extraordinary. Vince and Mark just mentioned he went back for his 25th wedding anniversary. And I want to ask you both, how do you feel about it now when you go to the memorial? What do you feel when you're on the site now?
The last time we had, it's probably been about, I think it was in 2015, 5 years ago. We went down to Ground Zero, and unbeknownst to us, we're able to get online. We got an email that the memorial's opening up underground, the museum. They have the pond, the reflection pond above ground, but underground there's a memorial, and it's unbelievable. But we'd got it. It was called a disaster rescue ticket. If you happened to be at a relief personnel and helped out at Ground Zero, you can go in. You can get a ticket online, and they let you in the site for free. So my wife and I had gone down, and some family. It's just so solemn, so real, almost numb. You could drop a pin. People are in there. They're respectful. There's a lot of dignity shown towards those that have lost their lives. There was over 3,000 people that lost their lives, 343 firefighters, over 60 police officers from Port Authority and NYPD, and then thousands of civilians. but the respect and dignity they show in that museum for those who have, whose lives were lost is just incredible. They couldn't have done a better job. I mean, it's just like walking into an art gallery, but they have some certain rooms that are, you walk into one room and you hear a dispatch. 9/11, can I help you? There's somebody, there's a tower has been, you know, and then you walk in and you can hear people screaming, and they just have this rooms designed for sound and the visual aspect of it. Then you go in another room and they show, some of the memorials and some of the funerals. They just did a really good job. If anybody ever get a chance to go down there, go down to the museum, the 9/11 Memorial Museum. It's just an incredible place to reflect.
Yeah. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, I want to ask you both about, do you see now why God had you there? And so we're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. It's a special 9/11 Memorial Edition. We'll be right back.
September 11, 2001.
Traveling sucks a little bit more.
Definitely a changed world.
I was devastated. I just couldn't believe it.
Since 9/11, we think about it all the time.
I think both you gentlemen, Vince Harrison and Mark Chavis, are in studio with us. Mark's a retired firefighter. Vince, a retired APD officer, both working with the safety team at Calvary Albuquerque. And as soon as you mention a chainsaw, though, I have these visions of like a horror movie, Mark.
don't mess with my daughter.
Oh, there you go. Hey, I want to ask you both, looking back today, do you see why God had you there, Mark?
Well, yes, sir. One of the things is it was a wake-up call for me to realize that we don't live in an ideal world. We live in a broken world that desperately needs Christ. And we are his hands and feet. We're the light and salt of the world. And Jesus himself, being God, came to this world, and he was rejected horribly and mercilessly murdered on a cross. There's going to be people that don't want to hear the message, but nonetheless, we have to work while it's still day. We have to be the light and salt. We have to give his message of hope out. And even more so since the 19 years since 9/11, even more so today, we just see how broken our world is and how desperate it needs a savior.
Yeah. Vince, do you feel like, I know you're full of emotion. You know, you've expressed that off air and on air. Why do you think God had you there?
Well, I know in the times of, you look in the Bible, it says that what man meant for evil, God meant for good. And I think throughout the tragedy, there comes a light. Like Mark's saying, we live in a dark world, but the light, exposes the darkness, right? I mean, you turn on a light. And I think that's what our purpose down there was, to go give hope. And I think, it still goes on every day. I mean, you look at the missionaries throughout the world. Evil lurks, right? And evil thrives when good men, don't stand up for what's right. And I think for us, being able to experience that for me was an eye-opening experience for me. And God showed me that there's more good than there is bad in this world. As I saw the people going to help, were giving of their time effortlessly. People, owners of companies were donating heavy equipment to help dig the pit. Doctors, nurses, rescue personnel, not just fire and police, but there were so many people. The restaurants there, Mark probably remembers that, but if you were hungry, you walk into any restaurant around Ground Zero, you have a uniform on, you ate for free. Mm. It was really just the common good in people was coming out. And if I think of anything else, we never forget 9/11 because of that. We never forget Benghazi, which happened 8 years ago, because of the evil. There's more good than there is evil, and evil will not win. We know in the end who wins on the cross.
Amen.
And I think that's the important thing.
You mentioned Benghazi, and just a few warriors made quite a stand.
Absolutely.
And trying to defend people in that complex. Mark, how are you changed from the events of 9/11?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, you know, I'm just more aware of just the brokenness of the world and my own brokenness too, that I'm not a perfect person, that I need God's mercy and forgiveness and grace every day for the sin in my life, and just happy and grateful to God that he made a way for us to be right with him. So I think as far as change, it's just made me so much more aware and has put me on that path of just recognizing that I'm not perfect, but God loves me anyway.
Yeah. Vince, are you better at your job now because of this experience?
101%. When I got back, not only did my faith increase, but my training increased. I focused more, and I felt God was gearing me towards how do we protect the flock. So that the last 19 years, most of my effort, before I retired, it was to train up people in churches to protect themselves, to be more aware of their surroundings, situational awareness. Our staff, our volunteers, and other churches. Church down the street just came down 2 days ago asking for assistance with their security program, and so I'm going to help them. Just being more. I think in training, we have a lot to offer. When you're a police officer or a firefighter or military, you have a lot to offer. So I think we're channels to help others and channel and not reservoirs to keep the training to ourselves, but to channel in and give people and help them with what you have. So if you have training in something or whatever God's calling you to do, do it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what God showed me through this.
Vince, you have a son in law enforcement, don't you?
Yes. He's with the sheriff's office.
He's faced with a difficult time.
Yep.
And a tough job. So we appreciate him. We really
do. I have a son in the sheriff's office and a son that works for the prisons. And they both, it's same thing. You go to work every day and, selfless, right?
Selflessly.
Yeah.
I can't remember the scripture, but it says to be the first among you, you must be last and right. Serve everybody else. And that's really what you both have done. So thank you so much for all you've done. Mark, kind of finish this up. We've got about a minute left. Tell us what you want all Americans to remember about 9/11.
Well, just real quickly, I'm a recipient of some of Vince's change and training. He's trained up a good team of sheepdogs at this church. Because there's a lot of sheep that don't know that the wolf's out there. But I'd like to just... my own closing comments, I'd like to just repeat something that Ann Graham Lott said after 9/11. It's just a short little thing here. Billy Graham's daughter was being interviewed on the early show, and Jane Clayson asked her, how could God let something like this happen? And Ann Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. She said, I believe that God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years, we've been telling God to get out of our schools, get out of our government, get out of our lives. And being the gentleman that he is, I believe that he has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand him to leave us alone?
Wow. And
I think that's very profound.
Wow.
Vince Harrison, Mark Chavis, thank you so much for spending this Memorial Day remembering 9/11. Thank you so much.
Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
Presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.